Tonight we are looking at such an important passage of Scripture and really an important principle found throughout the Word of God. We're in 1 Samuel 23, verses 19 through 29. Oftentimes in our life we feel very unsafe. Have you ever been afraid that someone might harm you, like an intruder into your home? Anyone ever had that fear? Any of you want to give a testimony? No, I'm just kidding. We've had many testimonies like that here. And it is a very real fear. Some of you have feared the worst that a person might do to you, someone that you know, maybe a coworker or a neighbor, someone that had bad intentions for you, and you feared. Maybe you've been afraid of traveling in an airplane or in a car, depending on who's driving. That was a little funny, but truly, that is a real fear. You can be afraid in a car or in an airplane or some kind of vehicle. Some of you have perhaps had your life threatened, or you've been in physical danger or harm. Some of you have had your livelihoods threatened and had your financial well-being threatened. Well, I want to ask you one simple question tonight. And I want you to answer this in your own conscience. It'll show you if there are any idols in your heart. What is it that makes you feel safe? Is it a car that works? Is it a house that is secure? Is it a security system? Is it finances? Is it your family? What is it that makes you feel safe? David had the right answer. We're going to look at his life in 1 Samuel 23, but he said in Psalm 56, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." And we see this throughout the Word of God in Proverbs 21, verse 31. You might want to write these down. There's a number of references, but they're great to memorize, especially if you struggle with fear. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. That's Proverbs 21, 31. Any of you want to write these down? If you need a pencil, anybody need a pencil? You want to write these down? Anybody? Okay. You have your own. Psalm 20 and verse 7. "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Psalm 33, 17. "And horse is a vain thing for safety," or a car or a tank or whatever you want to put in that space, a security system. "Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength." So your great physical strength is vain for safety. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy." That's where safety is, as you hope in God, in his mercy. Psalm 147, God, this is verse 10, "God delighteth not in the strength of the horse, he taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man." And then Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." Where does safety come from? Where does your sense of safety come from? If it doesn't come from the Lord, you're trusting in an idol to keep you safe. The Bible is pretty plain, isn't it? And this was the trust that David had. David trusted in the Lord. Now tonight we're going to see why we should trust in the Lord for our safety. And then we're going to see a prayer for safety from David's life. Because in this passage of 1 Samuel 23, there is a parallel psalm, which is Psalm 56. But we're going to look at that a little bit later. Right now, let's look at 1 Samuel 23, beginning with verse 19. We'll look at that in a moment. But first, let me tell you what we're going to find. The first principle that we're going to find from this passage is this. You are safe because God's plans always trump the plans of man. There is no one that can harm you. There is no one that can hurt you. The Lord's plans always trump the plans of man. And so if someone threatens you, I want to ask you, who do you fear more, a man or do you fear God? Who do you trust in for your safety, yourself, your good intellect, your good creativity, your car, your home, or do you trust in the Lord? Doesn't matter what other people do to you, the Lord's plans always trump the plans of man if you are one of His. Now, if you're not one of His, you're in deep trouble. There is no protection for you. But if you are one of His, you are safe. You see, if you're a believer, you're untouchable from anything or anyone that would not be for your good. Every single thing that happens to you in your life, every single thing is for your good. Think about that. Everything. Everything. You're safe tonight because God's plans are sovereign and He's working everything according to the counsel of His own will for your good and for His glory. And God has plans for you, and they don't only pertain to this earth. They are eternal plans. Your plans are futile if they don't involve God. Amen? They're futile. They'll do nothing. I want you to see this principle in David's life. This is in verse 19. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, "Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood?" Look at verse 20. The words of the Ziphites. "Now therefore, O king," this is to Saul, "come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hands." And Saul said, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, and ye have compassion on me. Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place where his haunt is, and who hath seen him there, for it is told me that he dealeth very subtly." Listen to the Ziphites conspiring with King Saul to take David's life. Did David have any control over this situation? He had no control. Now look at the carefulness that Saul has in finding David. He sends out his special units of the Ziphites who were conspiring with him to take knowledge of all the lurking places where David would hide himself. And Saul said, "Search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah." I like that little phrase, "the thousands of Judah." That was still ringing in his ears. Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. That was still ringing in his ear, that jealousy. But Saul was not going to find David. Saul had great desire. He had great help from the Ziphites that knew the land. They had everything on their side. This was one man. They had all kinds of people that knew the countryside. And what I want you to see is that God's plans always trump the plans of man. There's nothing that can harm you. There's nothing that can hurt you. God will not allow anything into your life that is not for your good and for His glory. You are totally safe in the Lord. And Saul was not going to find David on this occasion. Would David find himself in peril on other occasions? Certainly. Certainly. But not for his death. And that is, David was safe because, not because of his great ability to hide himself like Saul had imagined. David was safe because the Lord cared for him. And if you're a believer here tonight, the Lord loves you and He has planned your steps, and not one of them is a mistake. I want you to see this principle throughout the Word of God. Jeremiah 29:11. God says, these are beautiful words. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." To give you literally a hopeful future. Paul says in another place, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." God has chosen us. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:4. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world. You know when that was? You remember that time? Oh, that's right, you didn't exist. Back in eternity past. Isn't that a big thing? For all of eternity, God has chosen you. Listen, God's plans for you far outweigh anyone who would seek to harm you. God's plans for you far outweigh any person that has a malintention towards you. Look over at Psalm 37. Turn over there, would you? We're not sure who wrote this, but probably David. I want you to see verses 1 through 5. Some Sunday night we're going to have families do nothing but quoting scripture and songs. One Sunday night we're going to do that in a couple of months. Give you some time to prepare. But this would be a good passage for your family to memorize. Come up here and quote it before the congregation. And this is such a beautiful encouragement to God's plan for us. David, perhaps it was David, but the psalmist here says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Now look down at verses 23 and 24. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." God's plans always trump the plans of man for the believing person. Psalm 84 and verse 11 is another beautiful verse. And it uses the metaphor of a sun and a shield. Both give hope and protection. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. We do not have to think and plan against anyone who would try to do us harm. We need to trust in the Lord and do good. We need to know that He is a sun and a shield, and He will not withhold anything from those that live uprightly. Do you have anxiety? If you do, it may be, not always, sometimes we have unexplained anxiety, and sometimes you have to just live with that. But perhaps your anxiety is coming from a lack of trust in God's power and sovereignty. And if that is the case, you need to understand that God loves you. And He's all-powerful. Isn't that encouraging? God loves you, and He's all-powerful. And Peter tells us that you should cast all your care, all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Cast your care on Him. Cast your anxieties on Him. This is an invitation. He cares for you. He loves you. You're the apple of His eye. Before the world was formed, He chose you in Christ. The climax of this principle is seen in Romans 8, 28 through 32. Turn there, would you? You see, there is nothing that is not good that can happen to you. In other words, everything that happens to you, if you are a believer, is good. Everything that happens to a believer is good. And you're not just to rejoice in all things, you're to rejoice for all things. You're to give thanks in and for all things, because they're all ultimately for your good. And we see this in Romans 8, 28 through 32. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Are you called according to His purpose? His purpose, not your own? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the end. That's your future hope. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? In other words, as long as you are in the King's highway, no harm can overtake you that is not for your good. In fact, from beginning to end, even your failings and your sin nature that provokes you to temptation, even when you sin, you will learn from that if you are a believer, and you will hate sin more and love God more. On this passage, I heard Kevin Bowder, the president of Central Seminary, recently say this. He said, Murphy's Law is turned on its head for the Christian. Some of you maybe were there last night, but it was amazing. He said, Murphy's Law is turned on its head for a Christian. And what is Murphy's Law? Whatever can go wrong will go wrong. The opposite is true for the Christian. Whatever happens in your life is for your good. In other words, if you are a Christian, whatever can go right will go right for you. Whatever is for your good and for God's glory, God will give it to you. All things, He says. Everything. And you say here tonight, great, then why don't I have $1 million? The answer is very simple. Because it wouldn't be good for you. And if it was good for you, you would have it. You would have it tonight. You would have whatever He wanted for you, for your good and for His glory. So listen to this. As the Ziphites conspire with Saul to destroy, to utterly... They don't just want to put Him in jail. They want to decimate Him. They want to kill Him. They want to end His life. They would like to destroy Him and his remembrance. But the plans of God... Aren't you glad that the plans of God always trump the plans of man? That's why you can feel safe. Secondly, second principle. We can be safe in the Lord because God's power always trumps man's power. God is all powerful. And we see this principle back in 1 Samuel 23. Turn back there, verse 24 of 1 Samuel 23. We find that the Ziphites arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him. And they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David. He pursued. Think of that human strength pursuing everything that he had after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for the fear of Saul. For Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. Do you see the picture of what is happening? David is literally trapped between a rock and a hard place. They have surrounded the mountain. There is no way out. There is no escape. finally, David is in Saul's hands. He's got him. But I want you to see that God's power is so much greater than man's power. Because we read in verse 27, about that time, that's my words, there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. God loves you so much that if He wanted to, He could start a world war to keep you safe. He started a war to keep David safe. And we read in verse 28, therefore they called that place Selah Lama Laketh, which means in Hebrew, narrow escape. They called that place the Valley of Narrow Escape. And David went up thence and dwelt in strongholds at En-Gedi. En-Gedi literally means the oasis, the place of flowing water. It's near the Dead Sea, and it was a place of refreshment for David. David went from being near death, certain death, to certain rest. And God can do that. Because God's power always trumps man's power. Do you believe that tonight? God's power is so much greater than any of our power. Now, I want you to see this in the scripture. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. God's power is His. In fact, Paul says, there is no power but of God. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I love the way Asa prayed so confidently in 2 Chronicles 14:11. He said in a prayer to God, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against us. God is our shield. He is our strength. And He has all power. And we ought to rest on Him. King Nebuchadnezzar of ancient Babylon said this in Daniel 4 and verse 34. Turn over there. Daniel 4, 34. And really, I wish that we all had this perspective of God in everything. It would strengthen our faith. It would keep us from the temptation to trust in worldly things that we often trust in, that have no power. Everything that has breath has its breath and power from the Lord. And this is what Nebuchadnezzar realized. Daniel 4:34, he said, I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and His ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, what is He able to do? He is able to abase. Oh, the power of man is absolutely less than nothing. And if you think you have power here tonight, in your own strength, God is able to abase you. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble, those that realize their own powerlessness. Psalm 115, verse 3, the psalmist says, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. If you are in Christ, Ephesians 1:11 tells us that you have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Fear not the power of man, because God's power always trumps man's power. And nothing, not one molecule, does man have power over. Jesus Christ has power over every square inch of this earth. And every man, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Finally, I want you to see a prayer that a man prayed. And this man was David. And he prayed this prayer when he was in the wilderness of Ziph. That's what our text says in Psalm 54. I said it was Psalm 56. It's actually Psalm 54. So turn over there, and then we're done. Just a few principles to remember when you are afraid. This is right from David's heart, a man after God's own heart. And this is how you should pray when you are afraid. We read to the chief musician, and then these musical terms. And it says, a psalm of David, when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us? So this psalm is taken directly from this time in David's life. I want you to see, David realizes several things. The first thing that he realizes is that God is a God of prayer. Even though he is sovereign, God works through the prayers of his people. You know this if you've been a Christian for very long. Prayer doesn't change God. Amen? You believe that? If it does, we're in trouble. Then God is not immutable. Prayer does not change God. Prayer changes you. But God in his sovereignty has decided to use the means of prayer from his people to do everything that he has willed. And we read this in verse 1b. David says, save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. He says, hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. David understands that God will move. Don't you believe that God still moves in our lives? God still moves in the congregations of his people? Is God alive? Is he the living God? Won't he answer our prayers? Pray to him. And when we pray, we need to have a proper view of ourselves, as David shows us. He says, judge me. He doesn't say, judge them first. He says, judge me. Paul says, if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If we put ourselves and examined ourselves before the holy bar of Jesus Christ, then we would not be judged. We would not be chastened. We would not be taken down by the Lord. And we are called to this serious, introspective life. Not worldly introspection, where there's all this fear and anxiety, but a true fear of the Lord. We are called to walk circumspectly. I was reading in the pastoral epistles the other day, and I noticed that Paul commanded men. He says, older men, this is what you need to do. Be sober. Now, is that descriptive of you, older men? Are you sober? Are you serious-minded? Does that describe you? And then he says, younger men, this is what you need to do. You know what he says? Take a guess. Be sober. You teenagers, you young married men, be serious-minded. This is not a game. This is life. These are people's souls that you're around, the people that you come into contact with every day. They are living souls. They are made in the image of God, and they will live forever somewhere. Be sober. Take and judge yourself and walk soberly. See if there be any wicked way in us, we ought to pray. If I regard an iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We've got to judge ourselves if we're going to go into prayer. But David also had a proper view of his persecutors. Verse 3, he says, for strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Selah. Selah means think about this. Now, let's unload that. Let's unpack that. Strangers, oppressors, he calls them. those that have not set God before them. David, first of all, by calling them strangers, sees their identity. They are strangers. Strangers from who? Who are they strangers from? They are strangers from God. This is a term in the Old Testament for unbelievers. Abraham was called what? A friend of God. They are strangers, as Ephesians says, from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. They are not fellow citizens with the saints, and they are not of the household of God. Strangers. David not only sees their identity, he sees their capability. He says they are oppressors, literally ruthless people. Ruthless. They have no care for David. They will destroy him the moment they get their hands on him. And there are people that, if given the opportunity, would riot for your goods. They would riot for it. And you see that when things happen in our world where law enforcement and other things are taken out of the way. People everywhere riot because of our sinful nature. And then David sees their idolatry. They have not set God before them. If God weren't around, they would do whatever pleased themselves. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is the essence of what it is to be lost. And David understands that these are the people that are against him. They don't know God. Let me ask you, very briefly, do you know God? Are you walking with the Lord? Is there a reality in your life? Do you love Him? Do you seek after Him? Or do you feel like you can do whatever you want and seemingly get away with it? It's not true. Understand that if that's the truth, then you're not setting God always before you. And you're an idolater. Secondly, David not only sees that God is a God who answers prayer, he sees that God is a God of power. Verse 4. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. As David was being sought after by these men, David knows that he is one of the called. He is not alone. He says, behold, God is mine helper. And he's not alone in two ways. He says, God is my helper. And he says, uphold those that uphold my soul. Uphold those that are praying for me. Brethren, we are not alone. Amen? If you know Christ, not only do you have God with you, but you have the entire assembly of the justified all the way around the world that are praying for God's will for your life. You're not alone. You see, this shows the kingdom understanding that David had. His eyes were not on the kingdom of Israel. His ultimate perspective was between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. And you can be part of the earthly kingdom of God, can't you? You can put yourself in a local church. Is everyone saved that's part of a local church? You have to put your trust in the Lord, not simply because you're part of a local church. And so David is understanding of God's power. And he understands that his power rests in God, and God is using all those that are praying for him. Thirdly, David is aware that God is a God of justice. Verse 5, he says, he shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. And the idea here is that evil will come back on his enemies. Evil, given out, will have a blowback effect on his enemies. Now, this is so encouraging. You reap what you sow, right? If you sow righteousness, you're going to reap righteousness and everlasting life. How many of you read your Bibles today, yesterday, this week? You don't have to raise your hand. You are sowing righteousness, and it's going to blow back on you. Isn't that encouraging? You have no idea the righteousness that's going to come on you. You sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. And that is so true when you sow righteousness, so sow it, sow good things, sow prayer, sow reading in the Word and heartfelt following after God. But the opposite of that is also true. If you sow iniquity, don't think that you're getting away with it. It's going to blow back on you. It's going to blow back on your life, on your children, on others. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt others. And David says, I believe in your justice. I believe that you are the judge, that you will reward evil unto my enemies, and you will cut them off in your truth. Finally, David is aware of God's goodness. Verse 6, he says, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eyes hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. Don't you know today the enemies of God are cursing the name of God, are they not? They don't know the Lord. They attribute to him all sorts of horrible things that are not true. They are blind. They are without understanding. But all those who know the Lord, all of them who truly know him, you know what they do continually? They praise his name. And that's what we are called to do. Now, as we close, we've talked about safety here tonight. And where is safety? What makes you feel safe? Is it your car? Is it your security system? What is it that makes you feel safe? I want you to see this wonderful result in David's life. There is something absent in this prayer that David prays. You know what it is? Complaining. There's no complaining here. David never complains that God is unjust. He's singing God's praises while he's losing everything. Do you trust in the plan that God has for you, that God's plans will always trump the plans of man? Do you trust tonight that God's power is sufficient? That God's power for your life will always trump the plans of those who want to do you wrong and their power? Let us tonight, let's bless God for his plans for your life, for my life, and for his power. Because safety is of who? Safety is of the Lord. Amen.